Hello, listeners. This is Darren, and welcome to another episode of The Criterionist, a look at the Criterion Collection, one spine number at a time. This is episode 52, so I'm going to take a look at spine number 52, and that is 1961's Yojimbo, directed by Akira Kurosawa. Just so you know, I will spoil this movie left and right, so if you have not seen it, I advise you to go see it, mostly because it's awesome. Yeah, there we go. So let's just get into the plot. The plot is this samurai, this drifter almost, coming into this town where two gangs are just destroying the town's just morality or whatever. And this guy, this drifter, kind of tries to get them to kill each other, destroy each other, and has a lot of trouble along the way. And then some other stuff happens. I'll get to that, though. Let me say this right now. This is a great movie. It's not based... No, well, it's based on a book called Red Harvest. Loosely adapted from that, which I don't know much about, except that it inspired this movie, and the Sergio Leone film, Fistful of Dollars, which I've seen that before. This is my first time viewing Yojimbo, and that, it's the same movie, pretty much, except Yojimbo takes place, I don't know when it takes place, but they have swords in Fistful of Dollars. It's the Old West. It's a Western. But yeah, it is the same movie, pretty much, beat for beat. I just barely remember A Fistful of Dollars, and this, I'm like, oh yeah, that happens. Oh yeah, he does that. Oh yeah, that happens. But I think I like... Again, I barely remember A Fistful of Dollars. This one's a lot better, I think. I'll start off saying that Toshiro Mifune, who is easily one of my favorite actors by now, he was in the other two Kurosawas I talked about, High and Low and Seven Samurai. He's in both of those playing two pretty different roles, and this is like a third... just a third category in his acting choices. In Seven Samurai, he's just a crazy, just insane guy. He kind of plays the same guy in Rashomon. And then in High and Low, he's kind of it's the more dramatic role, the more serious role for him. And this one's just cool guy. Just Yojimbo, or Yojimbo means bodyguard in Japanese, but he gives the name Sanjuro, which is the next film I'll talk about. He says that's his name. That's not really his name, I don't think. But he is just the coolest guy ever. And I guess I'll get into why he is. Well, the whole opening is him just kind of walking around while the credits roll, but if you're not watching the credits, you're just seeing this guy just kind of wander around, just to Mifune, just giving off this cool vibe, just strutting around not the desert, but just the countryside of Japan. Then he kind of comes into this town, and it's very Western-like. If you've seen, I know Kurosawa was influenced by the Western genre, but if you've seen almost any American Western, you'll see a guy walk out into the main street and be like wondering why the streets are so empty, and then you'll see shots of like scared villagers hiding behind their windows, behind their doors of the buildings on Main Street, knowing that there's something bad about to come out. some sort of bad guy. The bad guy here is a group, a gang, like just a gang of gang members, I guess, which he's not scared of at all. They all have swords they have swords, and he's walking around. He doesn't care. He's like, I can take on these guys. Then he comes across the tall guy with the hammer, which kind of grounds the Sanjuro character, because he gets scared of the guy with the giant hammer, which is a very good humorous moment of what does that guy do? Like, I want to see that guy use his hammer, but you don't want to see it used on this guy who, again, we barely know, but we've already established it as a pretty, like, awesome-looking dude. So then he befriends Sanjuro after avoiding the hammer guy, pretty much. He runs into kind of this, I don't remember if he was like a bartender or if he just served food, but he goes into his place. Ganji is his name, and they kind of become friends, except Ganji's like an older man, and he's just really just upset, and he doesn't want anyone there. Obviously, both gangs, he's just like, I really don't want them here, and he's like, but I don't want you here either, talking to Sanjuro. But they still become kind of like friends. Ganji is also, script-wise, he's just there to explain what is going on. He explains to Sanjuro, oh yeah, that's this gang, that's the other gang. They're both fighting, gambling is big in this town, and it's kind of taking away what the town used to be. It could be great again. He's the exposition man, and also a friend to Sanjuro. So Sanjuro, again, takes the advice from Ganji, sort of. He takes this information, and he wants to start a battle between them to end it once and for all, to have at least one side win, or both sides just kill each other. He goes out with the hammer guy and the rest of them, and he kind of fights a few. They're all pretty scared after a few kills. It's a pretty good scene, pretty good fight scene. I don't know whose side it is, but there are two leaders, and that's Saibi, and Ashitoro. So he goes to Saib. I'll call him Saib from now on, and you. He makes a deal with him to help fight the other guys, and Saib just saw him fight all these guys, kill a few. He's like, okay, yeah, I want this guy on my team. We can finally settle this once and for all. They're both pretty scared and pretty cowardly, the leaders of the groups. They don't want to lose, so they don't try to step up their game. So they go to this big fight. It, again, kind of influenced by Westerns of the 50s. It's just filmed like that. Like, it's, I don't know if it is, but it feels like it's noon. And the clock is struck and it's time to battle. So then they go out and they're about to battle, like I said, and Sanjuro kind of goes, yeah, I'm not going to do this. And they go, what are you doing? And he climbs on top of this, like, I don't know what it is. He just climbs on top of a building pretty much to watch. And they're like, oh, you can't back down now. You got to fight. So they're almost about to fight. This is the kind of character Sanjuro is throughout the film. He's just sitting on top of it's kind of like a watchtower, I guess, and just laughing, ready for these bad people to just kill each other. Or, from the looks of it, just not do anything and just be scared again. They're about to fight, though, before someone announces, hey, there's a law enforcement guy coming, and we're all mostly fugitives, we have to hide. So Sanjuro's, like, kind of bummed out. But in that, like, he's such a jerk, but in the best way possible. He's just like, oh, man, these guys, I didn't get to watch these guys, like, just kill each other, but, like, they're not skilled as much as he is, and he knows it. He's also pretty cocky throughout the film, and he's like, I just wanted to see this slapstick fight scene where these guys kill each other, and it would have been funny to watch for him, but he doesn't get to, sadly. So then it pretty much cuts to him just waiting for another offer. This is when it starts raining, and I don't know, man. Kurosawa is the most brilliant filmmaker and crew when it comes to rain. I remember, I can't remember if in High and Low, it just feels like there was one in High and Low, just a raining scene. I know there's one in Seven Samurai, and that's like one of the most memorable scenes to me, just because of the rain. I don't know how I guess it's the whoever sets up the rain machine, but also the sound. I can't remember if it would be mixing or editing. It's probably a little bit of both, but the sound of the rain is so just big enough to be like, oh, the rain is bad today. The rain is affecting what our characters are going through. In Seven Samurai, it's affecting a fight. In Rashomon, it's in the framing device, and it's kind of just setting the mood almost, like, this is a gloomy, gloomy story that this man is about to tell. Here it just sets off this just, like, bummed out nature of, like, this is going to be harder than Sanjiro initially thought. And that's when someone comes to his door and says, yeah, they made peace. All right. Actually, someone comes to his door and says, we are distracting the law enforcement guy with these two of my guys went and killed somebody. So the police officer or whoever's there has to go find out who did that now. So it'll be all here soon. Then that's when the coffin maker, another joke in the movie is like, oh yeah, that guy loves it here because everyone's always killing each other. People are always dying, so he's making all the money. Coffin maker comes in and is just like, oh man, they made peace. What am I going to do now? But Sanjuro quickly says, no, if they made peace, it's just going to get worse. They're just stalling for the big moment. So eventually, the plot finally starts up again or something. I don't know. But the two assassins get drunk, and Sanjuro's like, oh, I'll just kidnap you and give you to Saib. And then the other guy, can't remember his name, Yoshitoro. I'll just call him Yu, like I said. But Yu's men kidnap one of Saib's men, and they plan an exchange for the two assassins who could be used as blackmail, and the man who's pretty important. I can't remember exactly the details, but during this exchange, before the exchange, we meet Saib's brother, who is named, like, didn't write his whole name down, but his name is Uno. He's got a gun, which is a big deal. It's influenced by Westerns, but this is the only guy with a gun, and the gun is a big, big deal. It was a big deal in Seven Samurai, like, oh, they got guns, that's not good. And a lot of, or, like, half of the Seven Samurai die because they got guns, which I guess really is a powerful image. The Indians and the Westerns, they don't have guns, and they just killed off easily. In this one, it seems, in Kurosawa's head, he seems like, wow, how is a samurai who, it feels like, is almost the artist. It's, maybe this is not intentional, but this is what I see. The samurai is like an artist with his sword, just effort, almost in the first fight scenes and the final one, it's almost effortless how Sanjuro just cuts off someone's arm or kills somebody. But then you got Uno here with the gun, who just during this exchange of people just shoots the guy and it's over, and it's simple like that. And maybe it's Kurosawa just always making samurai films because he always needs that to be that artistic, to be have just beautiful motions, beautiful camera work. And maybe he felt back in the 60s and 50s when he was big that people were just going simple, using the simple shot to, pun intended there, with the gun and with the simple films that come out that honestly we've probably forgotten at this point. We haven't forgotten Kurosawa though, because he decided to use the sword metaphorically, which I guess is a theme that honestly I just came up with, but I do like that. This guy just shoots it and it's over and over like that. But then the plot has to go on. So they bring out this woman who one of Sieb's men is in love with. But it also turns out this woman has a husband, and the woman was kidnapped from him, and they have a son. So Sanjuro kind of rescues her and says, and has the three, the woman who was kidnapped, the husband and the son, says, you have to run away. The first decent thing he's done in the film, it feels like, he's just trying to get these guys to kill each other so he can make the town better, which could be looked at it as a good thing, but this is the first almost selfless act he has done in the whole picture. He rescues this woman because because he's seen the son cry for his mom, seen the husband kind of cry for his wife, and just says, okay, I need them to be together. The movie kind of hints at Sanjuro having lost a loved one, a some sort of woman in his life, because earlier in the movie, someone offers him a woman, and he just kind of shakes his head and walks out of the room, kind of implying he's had a love and he's lost her in some way, and that's also could explain why he's so just careless, almost not careless, but just got this certain attitude of just like, I don't care anymore. I really don't care about your feelings. But when he sees two people who clearly love each other and a child, maybe he lost a child as well, he feels the need to get them together. And then once he says run away and they leave, he just kind of throws this almost temper tantrum of just swinging at everything in the room she was being kept in and breaking it. But he goes right back to his old, just like causing trouble ways. When people run in and find she's missing, he's in the room. He's like, I don't know where she is. I think these guys did it. And he kind of causes more corruption. Then they find out he did it. He let them go and is pretty beat up for it. He's rescued. He escapes. It's pretty cool. And he goes to the cemetery to hide until he can recover, which is, again, nice backwards symbolism almost there, that he's about to die, so he has to hide in the cemetery until he gets well again. They capture his friend Ganji, and he has to go rescue them. All while this is happening, they kind of can't remember which side kills who. I think it's Yu's side kills Seeb's side, and then Sanjuro, to rescue his friend Ganji, kind of kills the rest of them, including he slices Uno, who's dying, almost Sanjuro's almost been shot by him. He kills a few more. He has this kid who's just scared. Again, the second nice thing, or just like human thing, I guess, or moral thing, I don't know, that Sanjuro does is tell this kid who's fighting with Yu's side that, what are you doing with your life? Just go home. I believe it's a kid who he met in the beginning whose father was so upset with him that he was choosing the lifestyle that he did. And he's like, you gotta go home. So kind of bookending that storyline by having him do this one thing, I guess, that the whole film's been leading up to. And then Ino kind of looks at him and says, you're a good guy, and I can see it, and I wish I was like you, but I can't be. And then kind of dies. And then Sanjuro leaves, and that's the end of the movie, and it's pretty awesome. I really enjoyed it. This is a almost 2-hour film, and it really flew by. I love the camera work here. I don't know who the cinematographer was, but it is very good. Man, Kurosawa, it's weird to, I know it's cliche to go, man, Kurosawa was great, but as a pretty young film fan, only seeing maybe 4, including this one, maybe 5, of Kurosawa's work, it's just great to discover how great he actually was, why it's cliche to say Kurosawa was one of the best filmmakers of all time. I can't tell where this will rank in my Kurosawa rankings. So far, it's probably my second favorite, and ironically, I guess, is the okay word if you're looking at like the Sight and Sound poll from 2012, where Seven Samurai is one of the top 15, I think, but it's my third favorite out of the 3 I've seen. This one's just a lot of fun. Toshirô Mifune is the best. I can't wait till next week, next episode, for Sanjuro, which is just basically a sequel to this film, I think. He's great as the crazy guy always screaming. He's great as the calm businessman. He's great as this chill samurai almost. And Sanjuro is just a great character. He like clearly influenced a few, like he's almost like Bill Murray in Ghostbusters, where he will just do, he's almost saying whatever he wants, saying whatever he feels like, but he's also a good guy who is going to save the right people. That's how I feel what his character is like, and maybe clearly, I don't know if he has, but influenced Bill Murray's career, which is pretty awesome. I just made it up. I loved it. I already got into one theme about the sword and the gun. I guess I can get into my last theme, which is what makes a good person, which I kind of already got into already. But Sanjuro is willing to let these terrible people kill each other, but also reunites the family. So is it fine to be the Bill Murray character where you're just going to go, just not care if, not murder, he's not murdering people, he's just letting them kill each other. He's just influencing the inevitable. But he does care about people. He cares about the kid he meets at the beginning, who he says, go back to your family and help them. Go back and change your life. Rethink your life. He does reunite this family. He does save his friend. This old crotchety man who mostly just yelled at him and said, kind of called him bad names. But again, they were pretty good friends. They did understand each other in a way. So when the second he hears, oh yeah, Ganji has been kidnapped, he goes to rescue him. So on the outside, he looks like a bad guy. He's laughing, he's causing trouble, he's lying about who did what. But also he does the right thing. He never even questions what he's doing. He just needs to reunite this family. He needs to not kill this son character and tell him, you need to go home. You need to change your life right now. So it's a look at what makes a good person, and I don't know if any other film. Well, there's some filmmakers that can, obviously, but. This is basically an action movie. This is basically a story about just a guy just saving a town, pretty much. But the morals in it is so complicated, so interesting, that I really do just love it. I love it a lot. I don't know. I think that's all I have to say for this episode. If you have anything to say about this movie or anything else I've talked about, email me at darincriterion14@yahoo.com. That's D-A-R-I-N, Criterion, number 4@yahoo.com. Or you can tweet me at schmuckforalife on Twitter. Go follow me there. Go tweet me on what you thought of the episode. And come back next week. We'll talk about Spine number 53. That's Sanjuro, another Kurosawa, another Mifune, same character. Can't wait. Haven't seen that one yet either. And I am very, very excited. Also, listen to my other podcast, The Rosebuds, which I co-host with my friend Andrew. We've done our rank all, where we rank all the movies we saw from 2015. We've done our top 15 from that year, and I think soon we'll preview movies to come in 2016, which is always a lot of fun. Go listen to that. That's The Rosebuds. Find it on iTunes. Give a review there. Give a review for this podcast. I'd like to know what you think, what I can improve, how great I'm doing, whatever you want. Whatever you want to say. And also read my movie review blog, schmuckforlife.wordpress.com, where I write mostly new movies. Like, I got one for Hail Caesar, and I got one for I did my top 15 in written form, so go check those out. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's been a blast. We'll see you next time. Bye.